Wrestling was up to these days. He's probably waiting for the ringer ride to come and collect him and take him somewhere from his base down on the south coast. Have you ever wondered why we're here? Have you ever wondered what this is all about? And why am I particularly here? Some people find real comfort in knowing that there is life beyond death, that there is an afterlife, and that is full of promise. And it may well be that part of your Christian story about you coming to faith was hearing about a promise of eternal salvation, a promise of eternal rest, some point way off in the future in a different galaxy, a different sphere called heaven. And that was part of your journey to faith. Some people find real comfort in those promises, and it enables them to make sense of life in the here and now. It helps them to get through how things are. Maybe it gives them the strength to cope with whatever life throws at them. And maybe for you, at times, when life has thrown you all sorts of challenges, well, life has dealt you lemons, it's enabled you in order to kind of say, well, I'm going to keep going because I have this sure and certain hope of the future. But what if life here, life now, wasn't simply a rehearsal for an eternity to come? What if actually there was something about life in the here and now which tapped into eternity, that we didn't have to wait for way off in the future, pie in the sky when we die, but was available here and now, right here, right now? And what if, rather than us focusing on how do I get myself from earth to heaven, our job, given by God, is to work with God to get heaven to earth, right here, right now? And for some of us, we've been brought up in the church tradition that it was all about the future. Heaven was in the distance. It was something that might happen or would happen in the distance. But actually, Jesus said, pray. And pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. An immediacy about that. So we all face challenges. I know many of your stories, and I know some of the struggles that you either have had in the past or are continuing to have, and no doubt for a number of us will have in the future. Life does can throw us lemons. But for some people, life seems to deal them extra struggle, extra challenge. And for them, sometimes it literally feels like hell on earth. We don't have to convince them about the reality of a hell because they feel it every day. Imagine placing yourself in the shoes of somebody who's been trafficked, taken from whichever community they were brought up in, and against their will or tricked and brought into this country, left powerless, without an ability to have their own autonomy, put to work by somebody else, living in awful, awful conditions, knowing that there's no way out. It can feel like hell on earth. Think about the person who's trapped in a cycle of abuse or in domestic violence, coming home every day, living in fear, not knowing how to break out of that relationship or how to break out of that environment. It can feel like hell on earth. Maybe you know somebody who lives with chronic pain or chronic fatigue. Utterly, utterly debilitating, strength sapping. And after days become weeks, become months, become years, it can feel like hell on earth. Or maybe you know somebody who is living with acute loneliness, one of the biggest physical killers of our age, loneliness. Everybody else seems to be in relationships. Everybody else seems to be in friendship groups or family groups. Everybody else seems to know somebody else, but they don't. Are feeling trapped in their own home and their own space. And it can feel like a hell on earth. And what Jesus doesn't say is, suck it up. He doesn't say, this is your lot, get through it, grit your teeth, and hold on for dear life because it will get better some point in the future. He doesn't say that at all. Instead, he says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes we like this idea of dualisms. We like a battle going on. This idea that there's somehow there's the secular and then there's the sacred, as if somehow there's a complete divide between the two. We're either singing holy songs or we're singing unholy songs. We're either doing a God thing or a not God thing, as if there's a kind of complete separation between those two. And sometimes that can come out in our language, where we talk about earth as if earth is all temporary and earth is all sinful and earth is all just human and very unspiritual, whereas heaven is all heavenly and holy. But what Jesus seems to be saying is that our job is to bring heaven on earth. It's not that that's the sum total of heaven. It's not that that is all there is to heaven, but to bring first glimpses, first fruits of. So that those who feel like there is hell on earth instead get a glimpse of heaven on earth, where there is hope, where there is healing, there is freedom, there's liberty, there is community. So Jesus goes around and people bring to him those who are sick and he heals them. And when he heals them, he doesn't just say, that's it, your medical services have been provided. He declares that the kingdom of heaven has come. That there's something of heaven that happens when this person is healed. When this person is set free from a spirit which has bound them and they can't break out of it forever, it seems. And Jesus speaks a word and they are freed. Know this, that the kingdom of heaven has come. That what was way off in the distance and the future and was thought of as a different realm has zoom in the presence of Jesus through his life, death, resurrection, come alive here in this moment. Heaven on earth. So Jesus spoke more about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, than anything else. It's his kind of reoccurring theme. Why? Because Israel was waiting, longing for God to bring his rule established here on earth. And in the Israelites, they weren't looking for some way off in the distance afterlife. They wanted to see God's rule come in this life. They would separate life into two ages, the age to come and the present age. The present age was full of struggle and hardship and pain and sickness and death, disease and so forth. And if you have ever experienced any of that or friends have ever experienced that, then they would say that's the present age. But hold on, there is the afterlife, the age to come, where Creator God will burst into his creation and bring new creation, recreate, where there will now be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more cancer, no more debilitating loneliness. The kingdom has come. And when Jesus spoke about eternal life, he wasn't necessarily talking about the age to come. Because what he's saying is, in him, in Jesus, you had your present age and you had your age to come. But know this, through his ministry, what was to be the age to come has now come in the present. What you thought would only be a distant possibility or a distant hope, in Jesus, by faith, has come now. Be healed. Be set free. Be released. The kingdom of God has come. Wow. All because of what Jesus has brought. And so John, Apostle John, when he writes his revelation, he says this, he, speaking of Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That age to come has now come in the present. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, He talked about it mostly in the here and now. The kind of technical term is it's a realized eschatology. Eschatology is basically a study of what happens in the future. And realized means it's happened already. It's already come. And he's saying the kingdom of God has come in Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, he brought the kingdom. He wasn't talking about what happens to you so much when you die, as if it's all about the future. He's saying, actually, you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. In faith in Jesus Christ, it comes now. It comes now. It wasn't going to be just somewhere over there. It wasn't going to be some point way off in the future, but right here, right now. When you think about eternal life, sometimes we think about the life to come. But if eternal life is only about the life to come, if eternal life is only about the future, then think about it. It's not eternal life. It's limited. It's going to start over there. It's going to carry on. Eternal life is more than that. Imagine all that God has done in the past and all that God is now and all that God will do in the future. And all of that is beamed down into one point in the here and now. Imagine taking a magnifying glass on a sunny day and you catch the sun ray with your magnifying glass. And by that, you bring all those rays and you point them and you channel them through this one point and the intensity of it. That's eternal life. When all that is God becomes available to you and I. I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness and its abundance. So this isn't saying there is no eternal life in the future. It's saying it's way bigger than that. Way bigger than that. Yes, it's all of that, but actually it's in the here and now too. And when we pray and we see somebody healed, we're saying, thank you, God, your kingdom has come. There's more yet still to come. It's not the sum total of it, but we want more of it. So what is the kingdom of God? The rule of God, the presence of God, the authority of God. And in the Gospels, we read that Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven, whereas Mark, Luke, and John call it the kingdom of God. That's very simple. They're talking about exactly the same thing. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God are the same thing. It's just that Matthew is talking to a Jewish audience, and a Jewish audience believe that the name of God is so holy, they won't speak out the name of God for fear that it devalues that name. So they use kingdom of heaven instead. Whereas Mark and Luke and John are writing more for Greek or Aramaic speaking or non-Jewish audiences. So they're okay talking about the kingdom of God. We live here in the UK in it's a kingdom. It may not feel quite so united at the moment, but we are a kingdom. And because we're a kingdom, we've got a queen. We've previously had a king, and no doubt in some point in the future we might have a king again. A sovereign whose rule, whose name determines how things happen in this particular territory. When you travel to another kingdom, you come under a different kingdom's authority or rule. So if you might travel to the kingdom of Norway, a kingdom of Sweden, kingdom of Spain, a kingdom of Thailand, kingdom of Bhutan, kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and so forth. There are different kingdoms and different rules at play here. When we're in the UK, we come under the authority, the sovereignty of the UK. Not wishing to make any political comments on that one, in case anybody's heard there might be something going on about that. But it's here that we're seeing the authority come through the kingdom. And some of you are crown servants. You are civil servants. You're police officers. You're people that serve the crown. And that means that you work under the authority of and to dispense with the authority of the sovereign. So just in the same way, The kingdom of God has a king. This king is not only a king, he's not even just the king, he is the king of kings. All kings and queens of the world submit to the king of kings. And this king of kings, like our sovereign, has those who work under his authority, crown servants, if you like, to dispense justice and to bring the authority and rule of that kingdom to bear. So you and I, as citizens of heaven, as crown servants of the King of Kings, are ones who bring the kingdom of heaven into places. And the most amazing thing is that this week, when you are in your workplace, whether it's in your classroom, whether it's in your office, whether you're in your truck, wherever you are have the opportunity to bring the kingdom of heaven in with you. You are a crowned servant of the King of Kings. What you say can bring a bit of heaven. What you pray can bring some heaven into a situation. Wow. Isn't that a thought? The power that you and I have when we work as crowned servants of the King of Kings to bring about his kingdom. So our job is not to escape earth and get ourselves to heaven. It's to bring heaven to earth, working with God. Pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We're not just clinging on to some future salvation. We start to live it now. And when you have an answered prayer, something of the kingdom of heaven has come. And when you see somebody set free from something that's bound them for so long, in the name of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has come. It's not all there is to it. There's more, even more to come. But know this, for that particular moment, for that particular person, at that particular time, the kingdom of heaven has come. And it comes through you and through me, through our prayers and through our actions. And what we're saying is, whatever heaven is like, be it on earth now. Whatever we think heaven was going to be like, God, we want this experience now too. I don't know what you think of when you think of heaven. Have you ever wondered what we'll be singing? I wonder what the songs will be like. I wonder what the food will be like. In my father's house are many rooms. Oh my goodness me, that's an awful lot of hoovering. And you wonder what heaven might be like. And do you think in heaven, in an eternal life, as a quantity? I used to think, I'm not sure I should say this really, but do you think you might get a bit boring? I mean, what happens when you've read all the books? When you've read all, you've flicked all the channels and you've chatted to all the people you kind of wanted to chat with. What happens then? What time are you going to? Oh, God, it's eternity. Keep going, keep going. And you wonder sometimes, what will eternity actually be like? Well, instead of thinking of eternity as a quantity, think of it as a quality, a richness, a fullness of life. Remember that magnifying glass that takes all the sun from all directions and beams it down into one place, intensifying the presence of God in your life. Wow. I don't want to move. I don't want to move. I'm in the presence of God. God, please. More, Lord. More, Lord. And the promise is that we don't simply wait for that for some point in the future when we die. I have come that you might have life and have life in all its abundance, in all its fullness, in all its vividness, in all its color, in all its vitality, in all the godness coming through right now when I pray, when I worship. That's why we don't sing songs. We worship. Who wants to sing songs when you can worship God, Creator God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right here, right now? And for the people trafficked, we don't simply say, oh, that's terrible. Kingdom justice says, we not only pray, but we seek to be the answer to our own prayers, that those who have hell on earth might be released in order that they might experience heaven on earth. And those who are sick, yes, we bring our soups and our meals and comfort and so forth, but we pray your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven as we pray for them. More, Lord. More, Lord. Right here. Right now. Yes, there's more to come beyond that even, but right here. Right now. And we're saying, not just our kingdom come, your kingdom come. Not just my will be done, your will be done. Here on earth as it is in heaven. So this week, imagine what you can do to bring a bit of heaven into your workplace. What would bring heaven in a situation that you're experiencing at the moment? Maybe in your social media, and your Twittering or your Instagramming or whatever, on your Facebooking, you know somebody that's going through a real struggle at the moment. What would bring a bit of heaven to them? Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe you know somebody's going through a really tough time. They're bound down by a sickness that they cannot shift. They need a miracle. God, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth. Here, not over there, here. And I'm right here right now, so all I can do is pray. I'm the person that is here to pray, so I will pray. I'm not going to leave it to anybody else, because they might not do it. I will pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. And when it comes to worship, when we get into worship or we get into prayer, we're meditating, however you do it. It's not about music style. But you're communing with God. At that moment, whether you're sitting down, standing up, kneeling down, or lying prostrate on the floor, God, all of your presence, past, present, and future, is beamed right down, intensified here in this moment. Your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord, come. We're going to take a moment to use a new